Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great Jane Zane of the living and giving Lisa L, and welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo.
Yo, yo, you guys, what is going on? It is your girl here, and I'm so excited to begin to this journey that I'm taking with the Paradigm Shift Combo. It is something that I felt like it was necessary for me to do, basically because I do, like, in my intro, I talk about having this probationary opinion and handcuffed tongue, and it's true. Like, I really do feel like since I have been in the military that it was difficult for me to kind of say the things that I wanted to say. So now that I'm out and I have such a large opinion about things, especially in the political realm, that I get to say whatever the hell I want. And the reason why it's so important for me is because I've been quiet and I've been watching. And my time in the military has allowed me to pay attention to detail. That is definitely a quotable in the military, pay attention to detail. And I became really good at it. So good, in fact, that during my time of 15 years serving, that I was actually a drill sergeant. And being a drill sergeant, being over so many people that have no idea what they're doing with loaded weapons and in areas where they have to move, shoot, and communicate, it's difficult and scary. So you have to be on your P's and Q's all the time, or something bad can happen. So paying attention to detail and watching how things unfold around me, I've gotten really great at. And my background as a poet has just allowed me to express it, hopefully in a manner that is easily understood. So I take pride in the fact that I communicate well, and I also listen very well. And I'm looking, I'm always watching, I'm always observing. And that's probably something I need to get checked out for, because I'll be nervous and I don't trust nobody. But that's a whole nother story. We'll talk about it a different time. But the Paradigm Shift Combo and just my background in the military is kind of two things that are joining together. And I have no idea what that looks like, but I'm sure that it's going to be an ugly baby. And everybody knows you can't say shit to nobody with an ugly baby, okay? Because it's mine, and to me, it looks gorgeous. So that's what the Paradigm Shift Combo is. It is my ugly duckling. So that's how I feel about it. I feel like I'm definitely stumbling, like I'm failing forward into this situation. And as it grows, it'll just be this beautiful, beautiful swan that I'm destined to become. And until I do, y'all get to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly as I go into different conversations with people and politics and just understanding it all. Because I'm telling you, I can't express to you guys enough. Like, there's so many things about my military career that I've just never said out loud. And I mean, I won't, but I think that they're going to be slowly visible throughout my conversations. And it's not only for me, it's like therapy for me. Like, this is true therapy for me, is just being able to talk it out, because I don't. And I don't know if it's my military background or my culture that says shut the hell up and deal with it, but that's exactly what I've been doing. And this conversation, this convo, is exactly the opposite. It is nothing but therapy for me to move forward in the things that I really want to do. And I got into poetry just that way. I got into poetry when I was young and I was rhyming and I was, I don't know, I was freestyling at the tables in the cafeteria in high school. No, just me. I was the only one that was freestyling at the tables. Anyway, my name was Uh-Oh. And I was dope because when I used to start freestyling, people would be like, uh-oh. So I was called Uh-Oh, the freestyling female. And I was killing the game. And that just kind of like shifted me forward into writing. And then I started doing poetry. And then I didn't do it because I was in the military. And then when I got deployed, I started writing. And then I eventually went to a poetry night when I got back from deployment, and I met a lot of people who were doing spoken word, and I learned what that was about, and I fell under the Black of poets, Black the Poet, Christopher Michael, just some really dope poets that became my mentors and taught me how to perform and how to write. My mentor, Black, Willie Baker, Jabir Rasool, he has a bunch of names, Third Rail the Poet. Sure, he's hiding from the cops. I didn't put all his shit out there now. But he's a platinum artist, writer, songwriter, and he's a dope-ass writer. So he allowed me to fix my writing to be more concise and to the point. So that was super, super dope. And Christopher Michael is an amazing performance poet. He's won a lot of competitions and slams, and just grateful for him. And he taught me how to, like, put poetry in motion and what that's supposed to look like. So Simply T Poetry was grown underneath a bookstore called Under One Roof in Killeen, Texas. Like, that's where Simply T Poetry blossomed. That's where I was. And from there, I was still in the military for the next 15 years. And I just used to do poetry every place that I went. And I kind of got known for it. And people wanted me to MC all the events that the military was having. And I became like the voice. That's what they used to call me, the voice. Hey, did you get the voice to do this? Or did you get the voice? Hey, we're having a ceremony. We need the voice. Like, my name is Specialist Sergeant White at the time. Like, but I was known as a voice. So that was kind of dope because that allowed me to get out of things as a young soldier. I didn't have to do a lot because, like, real higher-ups knew me and they needed me for, like, their big ceremonies. So that was kind of dope. But moving past, you know, the whole poetry thing, it's just always been, like, this underlying thing that I've dealt with throughout my military career. So it's kind of, like, pushed me forward into what I'm doing now, which is the paradigm shift. And the reason why it is the paradigm shift and the reason why I call it that is because I am so into patterns and structure. But at the same time, when things tend to change, people are very uncomfortable with and have a lot of friction and don't want to move. But sometimes that move is necessary. And I'm for it. Like, I'm for the shift. I'm for the disruption of pattern. So when I talk about the paradigm shift conversations, I am talking about nothing but disruption. Disruption of every single industry, politically, entertainment, film, model, whatever it is that you're into, and however people have been doing it for the last 20 to 2000, however old your industry is, fuck it up. Change it. It don't gotta be like it is. And that is my entire message. That is a platform in which I stand for. If it is for progression and it is forward and it is different, then I am with it. I want to know about it. I want to see about it. And I want to know why the fuck not. Do it. Be different. Show your peacock colors and be different. And that is what the paradigm shift convo is all about. It is just nothing more than disruption, change, and progression. And if you are for it, then please continue to stay tuned because that is what the paradigm
shift. You're my baby, my lover, my lady. All night you make me want you, it drives me crazy. I feel like you were made just for me, babe. Tell me if you feel the same way, 'cause it just feels so right. I don't wanna waste no time. If I had to choose, I know I'm gonna always choose to be with you. 'Cause girl, don't you know?
Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful? I wanna give all my love to you, girl. Not just tonight, but the rest of your life. I wanna be always here by your side. Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful? I wanna give all my love to you, girl. Not just tonight, but the rest of your life. I wanna be always here by your side.
When you're not here, you don't know how much I miss you. The whole time on my mind is how much I'm gonna get to make you feel so good. Like you know I could, tell me if you feel the same way, 'cause it just feels so right. I don't wanna waste no time. Girl, if I had to choose, I know I'm gonna always choose to be with you. Girl, don't you know?
Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful?
Yeah, babe.
I wanna give my love to you,
girl.
Not just tonight, but the rest of your life.
Your life.
I wanna be
always here by your side.
Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful?
Going on, we are here live, the Paradigm Shift Convo, and we have an amazing entertainer, performer, film star. She is everything you ever thought you needed in one person, you guys, and I'm super excited for her to be in the building. We are here with Miss Rosa Villano, and she is looking so beautiful, you guys. I wish that we had video so y'all could see the melanin popping up in this studio. Miss Rosa Villano, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. What an introduction. My gosh, me?
Yes, all of that, all of you. I'm super excited to finally get here and get to talking to you. It's just so much that you have to offer to, hell, girl, everybody. You got so much going on, and we are going to tap into everything that you've been doing, everything that you are destined to do. And I know that we don't even have that kind of time. It is like
the revelation,
right? The paradigm shift is real. And that is one of the hugest reasons why I have you, because you are definitely shifting the paradigms in all types of industries. So I'm super, super excited to jump into everything that you have to offer. But I just want to just quickly just let you explain a little bit about who you are just to the people and give them a snippet, a very surfaced Rosa Villano. So let's talk about it.
Rosa Villano, trademark. My name is Sheena Todd. That's what my mama named me. Military veteran, videographer, PR person, master's degree, you name it. I mean, we going to talk about it all. So I'm just happy to be here, girl. You know, I don't...
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about what your mama named you. So one of the... Miss Sheena Todd. So what, so you were a combat veteran, yes? You were...
Not combat. I did go overseas, but okay. Yes, so just Navy veteran. I can't take that credit.
How did that play into, like, how was that, like, you went in young?
23.
Yeah, oh, so that's not that young.
Mm-mm.
That's
so I had young. Already made all the mistakes. I went to school. I went through, what, 3-4 years or whatever. I was working 3 jobs going to school, and I was like, this is not going to work in Detroit. I got this just over brokes. So, you know, I went into the service.
Okay, I see. So when you got out the service, you ended up in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and you decided to jump right into...
entertainment. So the whole time that I've been in, I've been doing entertainment. So even when I was overseas and stuff, I was winning competitions. I had the main one I won got me 2 tickets back to the States, which was amazing being all the way in Italy, you know, $1,700 a ticket.
Right.
So it was great to come home or whatever. But yeah, I made the newspapers and stuff back then too. So I've been doing it for a while. And when I was stationed in San Diego, cause I finessed, cause I had to get to LA.
Right.
But I started performing and I won another competition out there, under the, Urban Digital Network Conference or whatever, which was really cool too, and just a lot of performing and venues and stuff. So
when you say performing, what does that consist of? Singing,
rapping, singing, hopping on. Poetry was one of the main, like, so I love the fact that you do poetry, because that was a big one for me.
Nice.
I got on a couple of television shows doing that too. So
oh, wow.
I was doing it. Yeah, girl, the only thing was, you know, I had to learn how to make some money from all this stuff. I was just out there doing it.
Welcome to that.
Amen.
Yes, the lucrative portion of entertainment is kind of like the point.
You feel me?
To some extent. Like, right. I want people to hear me, but I need y'all to pay me.
Please, not $7. I just need $7. Just need $7.
So, okay, moving into entertainment, you got to L.A. Like, you busted open doors when you got to L.A. How was that?
You know what? I hate to say, and I was 27 when I got out of the military, which was a little bit late, you know what I'm saying, kind of coming into game and wanting to be a rapper and all of this stuff, right? But I took an internship. I humbled myself, took an internship. I was driving from San Diego to L.A. During that conference that I won, I met a young lady, Miss Lynn Jeter, you know what I mean? She was my mentor for a while, and I was coming back and forth, and she told me to come out of the secondary market and move up to L.A., and she just had me diving into everything, so...
So you jumped right into it.
Yep, videography. She had me pick up the camera. I started learning about PR and really how the business works behind the scenes. A lot of us think that when we get in the game, it just, you know, I got my music. It can go out there. Bam, I'm on Spotify. I'm on this. I got the record. I'm Billboard. Like, nah, that's not how I work. It's a journey. So
speaking of that journey, so Miss, what's her name again?
Jeter.
Miss Jeter. I heard a lot about her. What exactly, what role did she play in, like, getting you to the next step?
Man. Okay. So I did about 3 or 4 days a week. Thank God that I had the time. You know what I mean? Being a veteran, you go to school, you make your money, right?
Right.
So I had an opportunity to sit down and really learn how she ran her business. She caters to independent or up-and-coming artists. So it taught me how to build them from the ground up, whether it was building their EPKs, you know, getting on the red carpet and seeing what the environment is like, going to events, you know, learning how to run the events themselves.
Wow.
And just allowing me to actually be able to, I guess, reach my potential and pushing me. She introduced me to my entire, like, when I look at my network, I had to go bring her some flowers. Because when I looked at my tree and my network, I could literally pinpoint it right back to her. Though I did a lot of work, I can literally say, Nate here was an introduction from Lynn. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when I say a tree, you are an extension. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I can look at each sector of what I work in and say the same thing. Like, everybody is kind of an extension in a tree. So don't burn no bridges, because everybody is connected. Right. Okay? Yeah.
Right. Okay. So after that, you say you gotten into film. What have you been working with when it comes to the film industry?
A little bit of everything. So I started off doing web series back during the internship. I started working on a web series and stuff like that. And then I realized, like, I did a 48-hour film project while I was still in San Diego as a principal role. And I came up here, and a couple of months ago, I decided to make a film myself, which was great.
Okay.
And it's actually screening today at 12:30 down at the Complex Theater. In Hollywood, so I'm really excited about that. But
what's the name of the film?
Coercion. My bad.
Coercion. Let's do some promotion here.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And what's the film about?
Mental health. that is a really big one. Like, in my world, that is something that I've had to deal with over the past few years. You know what I mean? So it's been, and become, you know, becoming out of being a veteran and stuff like that. Like, you have to, you know, do some self changes and stuff like that, and kind of reflections to figure out, especially when you're changing careers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, it's a humbling experience. And so the movie, though they gave us the topic of horror because we had to make it in 2 days, we were able to make a film, a meaningful film about, you know, preventing suicide and stuff like that. So it's cool.
So I wanna touch on this a little bit, little bit more. Perfect. When we talk about being veterans and having to deal with that, and like even one of the things that is close to me is the 21-day battle buddy check.
Yeah.
So on the 21st of every day, if you don't know, every day on the 21st. Active duty veterans, we all like do a battle buddy check, because there is a at one point in time there was 21 people were dying a month from suicide. Mm. So 21 day battle buddy check is it's just a check for us to say, hey, it's the 21st, everybody check in, how is everybody doing? And you know, we just are real honest about that in social media, and it's like, hey, we're good. Like, hey, I'm over in San Diego and I'm doing okay today. And if you're not, you know, somebody will reach out and they'll talk to you. So I want to, like, you know, just discuss that, because I know that's personal to you.
I am actually very private. So a lot of people did not know many of the things that I was going through unless you were actually around me.
Right.
You could see me on film or on camera. You would see me as being great. But then, you know, I would go through my things on my own. And I definitely struggled with a lot of, like, depression and anxiety and some other ailments and stuff like that. And, you know, and some of it, obviously, childhood and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool to kind of go back into myself and restructure myself, you know? I feel like that's what I will say, is I learned that, you know, it's very important to pour, not only pour into other people, which is what I spent a lot of time doing, but to allow people to pour into me, because I need that nurturing relationship and stuff like that too, in order for me to be able to succeed. And then you want people to share it with too, you know? Like,
right.
It's great to get the accomplishments, but they don't mean anything unless, you know, somebody share it with.
Okay. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I could definitely appreciate that. And I think that that's something that I'm not sure if that's a struggle for us as women, mm-hmm. especially Black women, because we're so giving.
That chin up, too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're so, like, giving, and we have to, there's a status that we just have to, no struggle, no hurt, no pain.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely feel that. And I think that also being a veteran kind of plays into that, because it's, we fight when we in there.
What does
it's
the military tell you? They tell you, you hurt your knee? Oh, don't worry about it. Chin up. No pain, no gain.
Drink water, travel on.
Do you hear what I'm saying? And you just like, all right, cool. And then you
drink
get
water,
out.
Travel on.
But what happens is when you get out and you get still, everything hits you. And I felt like a truck hit me. I was like, what's going on?
Right.
And so having to take those steps, you know what I mean? And like, I mean, I had to change my nutrition. Right, so gave up beef, pork, that allowed me to clear my mental. Recently, I gave up smoking. I don't know if y'all knew that about me, but I no longer smoke.
Okay.
And, well, not cigarettes, but tree. And then, yeah, just I took up boxing, things like that, things to help you get out some of that anger. And also therapy, praise God. Therapy is important, you know
yes.
what I'm saying? And also finding people and friends that you can actually talk to, I think is important. Like, like I said, I was very private. I didn't want people to know Rosa Valeno was going through anything. But Sheena Todd was, like, going through it.
Right,
you hear
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, sometimes we got to, like, let go of that persona and that, you know, that perception to allow people to, like I said, pour back into you. Otherwise, you're not going to be here, to be honest. Like, there are many things that could take you out the game, and it really shouldn't be your mind.
I agree. That is so, so profound. I think that's something that I'm so glad you said that. Now, I want to switch gears, and I want to talk back with your professionalism.
For sure.
And talking on the subject of being a Black woman and being in that industry, how has that afforded you either opportunity or struggle or both?
You know what? Honestly, I have been very, 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 very lucky You know what I mean? I can't say, yes, I have been the only person, you know, being in the military, you see so many people, right? Mm-hmm. You deal with so many ethnicities, and I worked as an administrative type person, so I knew, you know what I mean? I'm used to different personalities, different people. So going into the room and being, you know, dealing with entertainment now, and if I'm the only black person, it doesn't bother me as much, you know what I mean? And I don't necessarily feel it because I have learned to work with different personalities. I guess sexism has been interesting, you know what I mean? That is probably one of the major things that I deal with in this industry is being a woman and my money not being green enough. You know what I mean? I think that is very interesting. It's like, oh, that's cute that you gave me $150, but what that mouth do? And it's like, really?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's, my 150, his
it's
150.
Not, yeah, same thing, right? But you teaching me a lesson, but you got to get up on me this close just to teach me something. But I paid you to be here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's also, or like, I would definitely like, have to bring men into the room because I needed a penis in the room. Excuse my language if I can't.
No, but, talk about it. Amen. Let's talk about it.
But I needed to bring a penis in the room because in order to have that in the room, then people gave me my respect. And what happened was if you acknowledged him and you didn't acknowledge me, I left. Right. Every time. And when they realized that it was me and I was the one spending the money, they're, oh, Rosa, Rosa. Oh, no, no, no. You're going to learn how to treat women in this business. You're not going to treat me like a video girl when you see me, you know what I'm saying, sitting in the studio.
Right.
Or wherever it is that I am. Like, you know, if I'm on the red carpet, you're not going to be moving me around and just doing what you want to do.
Right.
Oh, no, boo-boo. I'm short, but I got a big stature. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. She ain't short. Amen. She ain't shorter than here.
Ego. So, yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
I love being black in this industry.
Really?
Yes, yes. Can't nobody do it like us.
What?
I'm just, what? Listen, so I love it. You know what I mean? Now, I will say I've had to manage my blackness. That's a thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So maybe my dialect, you know, in one room might be different in a different circle, you know, or the way that I carry myself, sometimes I can't, which is why you just heard me say, may I talk about it
yeah.
at the table?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, because sometimes you have to screen it because, you know, just our presence alone sometimes can be a little, people can take us a little, what's the word?
Dominating, aggressive.
Yeah, and I might not even open my mouth yet, but I'm already, you know, that persona and that aura is already there. And so sometimes I spend time disarming it.
Wow.
And then going through the process. And that disarm might be a hug, it might be a laugh, it might be a joke. That's why I stay with that, you know, my presence is the way that it is because it's to disarm everyone. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, because, like, for instance, when I was in my master's class, I had to do an introduction, and I knew that my accolades and all this stuff, they were going to be like, what the fuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get in there and just disarm everybody in the beginning, laugh, joke, talk junk, flick through the slides, you know what I mean? Just not make it that deep because some of them were like, why are you here? And I was like, same reason you are. I still have more dreams and aspirations, and this 21 months is going to change my life, too. You know?
Right. So what's that master's degree? Let's talk about that.
Music industry administration.
Okay.
Oh, I finally got it right, man. At first, I had went to school for marketing. Hated it. Failed. I didn't want to be there. but now, it's 38 people got into this program, and I am so
wow.
very blessed. I had people like Andre Alexander, Seven Bailey, Tracy J. And these are people that are major in the industry that allow, they put a good word in for me, you know, pulled me out of LA Film School because I had already graduated and went back for audio. They pulled me out of school and was like, what are you doing here? You have a bachelor's degree? Let me show you what this really do. You know what I mean? And from the, like, your network is truly your net worth. It has completely changed my life from the moment that I got into that program, and it was not easy. I got interviewed. They told me. They were like, yeah. The school, it was closed, by the way. The classes were closed. I wasn't in the program this year. Somebody oh, wow. dropped out.
Wow.
Thank God for them. They dropped out, and I got in.
Okay.
And then everybody else that didn't get in was rolled over to next year. So this was, I'm just very, very blessed.
Nice. So what is this master's degree taking you into? Let's talk about your LLC, shall we? Let's talk about how.
Look at Joe Reese, she got all the business.
Yes, girly, look.
I love it.
No, but let's talk about that because I think that's kind of like the future, and I don't even mean like this is the epitome of what the paradigm shift conversation is about. It is
Absolutely.
About this and this intuitiveness inside of you that's allowing you to
see past right now?
You know, the main thing that Lynn Jeter said to me was, get in front of the eight ball, get in front of the eight ball, get in front of the eight ball. And I was like, I thought I am. I thought I was. No, it's really about being able to see 10 steps ahead of what's going on and where do you fit. You know, this industry continues to change and shift and grow. And if you notice, the people that don't change and shift with this industry, where are they now? And it's not about what you did yesterday. It's not about what I did 10 minutes ago.
Come on.
What am I doing right now?
Come on.
And what do I have coming in the future? You feel what I'm saying? So that's what relevance is. And I think that's what it is. So for me, I created Mega Into Vision because, you know, I got tired of building other people's brands. Straight up. So for me, it was like, you doing all of this work and putting all of this energy into the Navy, into other people, you know? Got my rank year and a half, did all of this stuff, sailor of the year, la, 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 la. But what is Sheena doing for Sheena? Who is that? And so trademarking Rosa Valeno was very important. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I got sued. And that's fine because I won. But yeah, you know, and Mega Into Vision, I was able to, you know, get into PR and take what I learned, you know, from the internships. And then I got hired after working for another one. So another lady named Juliet out in Calabasas. So I was able to take the stuff that I learned and do videography, do public relations, songwriting is a big one. We got to talk about that too because him and I got a beautiful record together.
Yes.
So exciting.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, that's awesome. Well, yes, we are going to talk about your songwriting because we still have to talk about that. And we are still going to talk about, which something you just touched on, Miss Sheena Todd wins her trademark case. So we are definitely going to hit on that. But we're going to take a second and just chill out, turn off these microphones and relax. So y'all stay tuned to the Paradigm Shift Combo.
I just wanna breathe in everything that's waiting for me. I just wanna be everything I'm supposed to be. No box, no limit. No glass, no ceiling.
I'm
but at times it can get so hard. Just do it my way.
Something to do with that amazing track. So tell us all about the artistry and music, which is you. Let's talk about it.
So I had the pleasure of working with Nate Jolly brought me in on this project. Bless his soul. I appreciate the opportunity. And like we were talking about paradigm shifts, we wrote a song that was authentic and, you know what I mean, we wanted to make something that was great and transformative, right? And so Skin I'm In was basically allowing you to love who you are and love where you are in your life and just, you know, continue to follow your dreams and aspirations. And Tanish Jahadi is the epitome of that. You know, she's 14 years old, young black woman. She started, NBC Hairspray Live, you know what I mean? Like, people don't even know, like, a lot of the stuff that she was doing before she made it to the big screen.
Right.
And, you know, her family is all about, you know, progression and blackness and beautiful and, you know, realizing your potential and stuff like that. And they're super supportive. So it was nice for us to be able to capture, you know, that vision for her, you know, through Skin I'm In. And, like, as far as the creative process, man, like, I just was happy to be in a room, do you hear me? And get on the track and just and be a part of it, man. Like, because, you know, and it was also a self thing for me, you know, and me loving the skin that I'm in. So,
right.
You know, it...
I think that's amazing. I think that songwriting is so difficult. And I'm a poet. And I'm like, everybody's like, it's the same thing. I'm like, yeah, but no.
Yeah. Girl, just change the rhythm. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, so I think it's dope that you have, like, the poetry, songwriting. Like, all that's just so amazing. And you talk about being able to touch, like, her being so young and kind of, like, touch that portion of who she is and get in tune with that. And mm-hmm. I feel like through your education, you've also are working to make those changes. So how has that been effective in kind of, like, your education and the progression of that?
As far as education goes, and I guess learning, what I've realized along the way is that it's important to keep that childlike spirit inside of you, right? Mm-hmm. And she still embodies that, you know, and it's beautiful because it translates, right? And so I guess when I'm thinking about the educational portion, it's to not be so jaded by the business and to allow for me to just let all of that stuff pour into me childlike, right? And from a place of not, you know, having too much... I guess judgment on the industry and on myself and being able to apply, say, you know, for instance, my first publishing deal, I'm able to take what I've learned about copyrights and trademarks and all that kind of stuff, the type of deals that I want. I had to start my own publishing company because I realized, hey, wow. You know what I'm saying? If I don't have my own publishing, that means I'm missing out. It's 200% of money that's being made. Artists only know about, oh, I wrote the song. Oh, no. There's a whole nother stem of 100% that I wasn't getting, I was giving away.
Right.
And so for me, that's what I mean.
Education is important.
Man, listen, super important. So, you know, like I started off, I got a business degree from DeVry University. Won't tell nobody.
No, shout out to education. Yeah, DeVry's still,
DeVry.
They're still signing diplomas and degrees. So
hey, I'll take that regional accreditation, okay? Right. Yeah, they helped me wrap up my degree because I had like a whole bunch of credits or whatever. And I was, you know, the military moves you around. They take credits, move credits, et cetera. And I was like, can I just get the degree?
Right.
So it actually took me 10 years to get my first degree.
Wow.
10 years. So I started, I graduated at 17 years old and went straight into school and fucked off for a couple of years.
Right.
And then went into the military, came out, got the bachelor's, then went to LA Film School, got the associate's. And my reason for doing some of this was because it was about passion. I didn't know what I was going to do with that business degree. I just knew I had one. I was like, okay, what do you do with it, right?
Right.
Then I went over to LA Film School, and it grew my network, and then it also taught me about music production, audio production, and the things that are needed, right? And that's what it has allowed me to be able to create these projects and now be able to create all this dope shit because I now know what is needed in each sector, right? I know to call my lawyer friend at this time. I know to, you know, tell that sound guy, hey, I need you to have this in order. I know, you know, the PR person, oh, I need an EPK. Oh, now I can just do that. It's not going to cost me $500.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it just depends.
Okay. So now I'm seeing like the entire picture come together from
finally
the discipline and understanding from the Navy. And then you jump right into this internship with Miss Lynn and you dealing with marketing and photography and all these things. And then you education, film school, and in this entire process, you're songwriting, and you are still, at the end of the day, an artist.
Oh, yeah. I just released, so yes, last night I had a live performance, which was super cool, at Red Moon Restaurant with my boy Tracy J, who was also a master's degree graduate.
Congratulations.
Yes. I helped write on his album, which was really cool, and then I also performed on one, Steady. Yes. So got a chance to do that. We did it live. And then I guess something else that I wanted to talk about, I guess, with the artistry is I'm going to be performing in November at the Hollywood African Prestigious Award.
Nice.
So with that, it's being hosted by Michael Blackson and Vivica A. Fox this year. So,
dope,
you know.
Dope.
By the way, I need a date to that, so I knew. One of y'all want to come through, you know, please come on through. Get the network on. And that's something else I do. You know what I'm saying? I always bring people in, and that's what I love about like my network and everybody. We all bring each other in. So me being able to hop on Shahadi's record, me being able to hop on, you know, Steady's record, and then having my first publishing deal came from Los Angeles Film School. One of the guys became an A&R at Position Music and offered me an opportunity.
Wow.
And so now I'm working on my first project, which is amazing, and I'm so thankful. It's kind of like some City Girls, sweetie type stuff, but I'm doing it on the TV and film side, which means that it has to be super ambiguous. You know, no Fendi, no Gucci, no Prada, no all of that. So
right.
It's a different type of writing.
Right.
Completely different. But so I'm kind of learning to not be the cheesy singer, but, you know, still have my authenticity and stuff like that within the music too, so.
Okay. Yeah. I think that it says a lot that you have the background of the education dealing with the music industry, because I feel like when it comes to a lot of artists, they just want to make music. And they have no idea what that looks like on the back end.
Let me tell you, I was paying for everything. When I first got, thank God I had the money, okay? When I first got out of the military, I was paying for my beats. I was paying for studio time. I was paying for people to teach me about DJing. I was paying for my anything, right? Even hopping on stage and not realizing that, hey, if I send my set list in that I just did to my PRO, right, Performance Rights Organization, they will pay me to be here.
Right.
Every time. So that means when I was at House of Blues, they all have to have a blanket license, right? So the music, anything that's done, I should have been being paid. And I did not know that. I was paying a manager. I was getting my logos and stuff done, all of this stuff. And for me, education is important because you can have a million people around you and they all trying to help you. But if nobody knows what they're doing, guess where I was? I was still here.
Right.
And I was not zero, but I mean, you know, I had to learn and I had to hit my head and make all of those mistakes. And for me, I guess that's what I'm trying to prevent other artists from doing, because especially coming into the game late, you know, if I was 22, 23, it wouldn't matter. But now,
right,
I'm on my second anniversary at 30 next week, you know, so it's real.
Right. You know? Right. Okay. Yeah. I think that's huge, because I feel like very few artists, they come in with the basic understanding of, oh no, I got ASCAP, I got BMI, and that's like
what copyright is. They have never registered their they might have heard of, but they've never registered their music. They're you know, selling tickets and stuff like this for shows. They're not even documenting it. Like, I got on live just cuz, you know what I mean? Like, have the videographers, have merchandise, make your money. When you think about, everybody wanted to chase the record deal is not the same anymore. They want you to have yourself to a certain place, and you really don't want them to give you a record deal, because they're in the business of taking from you, and not just in your music. They got that 360. So, you know, you shit tomorrow, I need half of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're on tour, let me get a piece of that. Your merch, this, or whatever you're touching. Like, right now, I own everything I do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is what's important, because that's where the money is.
Right. So that's what the LLC is all about.
Heck yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when it's time for me to own my masters, when it's time for me to, you know, own my content, like, Coercion was made under me. So then that means that whatever I do with it, when I get ready to, you know, copyright it, put it out into these festivals and stuff like that, all of that has to come back to me, and I don't have to share it, but with the people that helped me create it. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to, there's no middle people and all this kind of stuff coming and take percentages. And then on top of that, right now, I've realized, this might be time for me to get a manager now, but I realized, assistant or something, but I realized that I don't need those things, because I know how to do them. And I think that's very important in this business, is even if you don't want to do these jobs, at least know what it is that you need, and know what team, your core team that you need around you as you continue to level up. You know what I'm saying? And you build on that. A team is important. You cannot. I always thought I had to do it by myself. I had no idea how imperative it was to have this beautiful tree.
Right.
So, yeah. And that's so funny, because when I was a kid, I had a motto like that, where it really is. Everything starts from a seed. And you water it, you nurture it, and, you know, yeah, that seed will turn into a forest, you know? So,
Miss Rosa with the knowledge. I hope y'all paying attention because she just gave y'all a bunch of information for the free 99. Yeah. Okay, so y'all need to definitely tap into Mega Intervision.
Yes, Mega Intervision, a Mega Entertainment Vision. Yes. You hear me?
So y'all need to tap into that because she is definitely knowing what the hell she is talking about. And I'm just super excited that somebody is changing the pattern of what is happening in the industry in an effort for it to happen properly. And because the wrong people are getting the wrong percentages.
Yo, it's that, and it's so, like, so the other part is, you know, what I've learned, and I think that this is something that people should understand, is when you come into this industry, fake it till you make it. And in that sense, I mean, people can smell you a mile away. If you coming up here in Hollywood or wherever, and they know you need something from them, oh, please believe. They're going to take whatever it is that you're offering. Right. And so I, even with women, I tell them, keep your legs closed, keep your legs closed, keep your legs closed.
Right.
I had so many people lying on my vagina.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Down there, like they were always, oh, you must be fucking them if you got to this point. You know what I mean? This must be happening, et cetera, et cetera. And so I just, what I've learned is that it's, you really have to keep your business in order, and that this is really small here. This industry is small. There might be so many people saying, hey, I do this, I do that. And really, it's seven people that's saying they do that, and the one that's important is right here, so you need to skip all of them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to do anything for you, but they will take from you along the way if you allow them to. You know what I mean? So I think it's about, you know, what has helped me is by being a good person in this industry. Had I fucked over anybody, had I been, people that had fucked over me, had I been out here doing all of this? Because I've been in situations where that same person that was doing all of this actually helped me get to my next level.
Right.
Inadvertently sometimes. You know what I mean? And had I opened my mouth, you never know who and how they feel about those people.
Right.
So just keep it to yourself, you know?
Okay.
That's important.
I like it. Just keep a little security.
Keep
your business, mind your business.
Yep.
So this has been an amazing interview, and I'm so excited. I can't express in words how happy I am to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
So happy, because there's so much you have to offer. But I want to give you an opportunity to, again, promote your next events. Let everybody know, shout out your music, Coercion, like all of that. So I want to give you the opportunity to tell the people where to find you, how to find you, all of that. So I'm going to give you the floor. Talk to me.
Cool. Oh, somebody I forgot to shout out. Kitty Harris, thank you so much. You know what I'm saying? For helping me transition through the Navy. That's really important to have that.
That is.
But so for me, what I got going on, Coercion is screening today. Over at the Complex Theater in Hollywood at 12:30. Please come through if you are available. Steady on all platforms, you know what I'm saying? It's with my friend Tracy J and produced by Gabe White. You can check it out everywhere. Then you got Skin Out Men, thank God. it was released on Billboard. You know, you got Nate Jolly and a slew of other people on that record, and I'm just so glad to be a part of that. So that's also on platforms. I just got in a play. Stay tuned for that.
Wow.
Stay tuned for the music that comes out with the publishing and everything. And from there, please look up Mega Intervision. And my name is Rosa. That's R-O-S-A-V-E-L-E-N-O. Yep, look me up on all platforms. You'll be able to see more about me. If you need EPKs done, if you need a videographer, if you need help with your copyrights, like, I am your business person. If you need a network, if there's somebody you're trying to get to, I'm that... I ain't gonna even say that on the thing, but you know, I'm that niggas. Understand the understood. So, you know what I'm saying? Just reach out to me. I have no problem working with people, helping with people. I wanna write with everybody, man. Okay? So let's do it.
So it is time for the 90-second soapbox, a portion of the show where we highlight a new poem each and every week. And this week, we highlight the poet.
Peace. I'm Phonetic 7, originally from Baltimore. The name of this piece is called Red, White, and Blue. What do we call her? Call her red, white, and blue. Blood, sweat, and tears cover her red, white, and blue. Sheltered and concealed, camouflaged, yet exposed, like a bindi on a Hindu who knew she would be so composed. Lives died in her ripped wounds, used as tombs to consume. Unidentifiable faces burned through her mental rooms. You pissed on her flag and called her out on foreign soil. Oh, her eyes weren't blue enough, kinky hair, curls or coils. She bleeds red, skin brown, lips full of facts, no predictions. But all you saw was walking evidence of realistic contradictions. Revelation or revolution, televised into a compromise. Hooded sheets hung necks undressed, only attire sandy brown noose ties. But still I rise in a circle of world that crops her into time slots like Sandra Bland against wall shots on backdrops, no photoshops. And even when her skin is white enough and her eyes are blue enough, it's still something familiar about you that scales the cuff. No foreigners, no immigrants, but we all are dependents of descendants. So how do you address me without undressing me? No makeup, just concealment. So let's call her red, white, and blue and paint two horizontal stripes called equality, swallowed in my American flag, hosted by reality, kissed by racism's rudeness that ridicules sexuality. Women have been mocked and provoked, strong will, but you call it masculinity. But who wants a bunch of fictitious feminist views with a group of radical redundancy, depositing your deposit in our spirits, modern day slavery, viewing us in color in an analog world. Now it's digital imagery. You say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Colorful closures unites voices in this mass symphony. You will respect me, so call me out by my name, red, white, or blue, because I am an American woman and we all resemble you. Round belly, brown skin, green eyes, blood blue. United in this world, who are we? Women who speak the truth. So address me by addressing me. Equality rights way overdue. You forgot the first page of the Constitution that stated we, the people, meaning me and you. Peace.